I suppose that many of you are aware that tonight, being Monday night, is a prayer meeting night here at camp. We're going to pray. Just a few minutes, we'll go to our knees. We'll have opportunity to pray out, lead everyone here to the throne of grace and pray in faith together for many, many different needs. But before we do that, I'm just wanting to read a few verses from the fifth Psalm, if you have a Bible, and return with me to Psalm 5. There are many prayers. There are many verses of instruction, teaching about prayer, and Psalm 5 is a psalm, I think, like that. We realize that the Bible, several places, teaches us that we really don't know how to pray as we ought to. That's a very strange thought, because everybody here knows how to talk. I'm sure of it. Some of you know how to talk mostly after midnight. That shouldn't be, I don't suppose, but that's the time that we start. And maybe you keep going until all through the hours and all day long. And we talk. And of course, prayer in part is talking to God, speaking to Him, bringing requests and petitions. Now, prayer is not only talking. I understand and realize that. Prayer is waiting, anticipating, sitting at His feet. That's all part of prayer. Praising the Lord is a form of prayer also. And there's so many postures that we could take in our prayers. We bow down before Him. We lay ourselves before Him at His feet. And on and on. We kneel before Him, our Maker. And so there's not one way to pray. There are many ways. So I'm not exhausting. I'm not just saying, here it is. This is how you pray. But no matter how we pray, no matter what posture we take, no matter whether we use words or not words, the Bible makes it very clear that we do not know how to, no matter how well we can talk, no matter how well we can formulate our requests. We really don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit of God helps us. It's the Spirit of God that enables us or teaches us to pray as we ought. That's in Romans, and then in Ephesians, Paul the Apostle, after teaching the Ephesians about the armor of God, the very end part, he says, now pray always with all kinds of prayers and supplications. And then he adds this, in the Spirit. Don't just pray or mouth words. My grandfather one time, some of you maybe have heard the name Gottfried Waldfugel. That was my grandfather, not Hans, the more famous of the two. But my grandpa was also one of the pastors of the Ridgewood Pentecostal Church way back at the beginning. And he was asked on one occasion at a Sunday school prayer, they said to him, would you say the prayer? And his answer was kind of strange, maybe to them, maybe to you. He said, I don't really say prayers. And I hope that we could understand what he meant by that. Now, of course, he said the prayers. You utter the prayers with your mouth. But I don't say prayers. I pray prayers. Prayers that are inspired by God. Prayers that only God can produce. Prayers that don't come out of my mouth or my head, but they come out of my heart, inspired by the Spirit of God. Now that's not something that we learn overnight. Prayer is an art. And any artist, no matter what field you might be in, you don't learn or proficiently learn in one lesson or two or one year or two. But prayer is a development that God has to develop in us. And at the beginning, our prayers are rather rote. They may be a formal prayer. Maybe we mouth the same repetitions, and they don't need necessarily be empty repetitions. They can be vain repetitions, but maybe not. But the Lord wants to help us as we go on and on to teach us to pray, to teach us to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, David, when he writes this fifth Psalm, let me just read the first three verses. and then maybe just a few comments about them. But he begins and he says, Lord, give ear to my words. O Lord, consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Now, I find that there's an awful lot in there. At the beginning of the psalm here, he says, Lord, I want you to give ear to my words. You know, I do think it's a good idea when you pray to use words. Articulate your prayers. Speak your prayers. Now, it's probably not always the best thing that everyone at once can speak their prayers or articulate them. But tonight when we go to prayer, somebody testified last year when I was here. And I don't know if this was a good thing or a bad thing. I'm still trying to figure it out. But they said, one of the reasons why I come third period is because Brother Ernie never calls on us. And I guess everybody else does. Or some others might. Now, I do that for a specific reason, because I don't want to make you pray if you don't want to. I don't want to make anybody testify that doesn't want to. That's just my personal thoughts. If you don't have a testimony, I don't want to make you give one. If you don't have a prayer, I don't want to make you pray one. But I would encourage every one of you. Every one of you here. There will be time and opportunity. I hope there will be time and opportunity for almost everyone, if not everyone in this room, to pray. I mean, with words. To pray out loud. Now, you say, well, what do I need? The Lord understands. We'll get to that in a moment. But the psalmist begins and he says, Lord, I want you to give ear to my words. You notice in the third verse, he says, Lord, in the morning you're going to hear my voice. What was he doing? Praying out loud? Do you ever pray out loud when you're all by yourself? I do all the time. Most often when other people are around, that's when you don't pray out loud. I mean, unless it's in a prayer meeting. But I'm alone in church a lot of the time, and I don't have to pray out loud. I know the Lord's not deaf. He can hear my heart. I understand all that. But I think it helps me to articulate my prayers and to use words and to speak those words that come into my heart that I trust are sometimes by the help of the Lord. I would encourage you to do that. As I said before, there's time for everybody. Well, there's only time for everybody if you don't articulate your words for 25 minutes. And sometimes that's not the best praying anyway, at least corporately in a prayer meeting, because frankly, after the first two petitions that you've prayed, I'm gone. I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm not praying along with you. I just can't keep up sometimes. And I know that some of our ministers of yesteryear have said, you know, it's better if you pray in a prayer meeting five times than pray one time for a long time. But pray as the Lord leads you. And recognize that there are other people. So you don't have to pray for everything out loud before God. But the Lord might have a burden of prayer on someone else's heart to pray for that need or that request or that petition or whatever it might be. But of course, if nobody else leads out in prayer, then one person feels it's incumbent upon them. Maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe that's not right. But I am encouraging all of you tonight to use words. To use words before the Lord as you come. But that's not everything. The psalmist goes on and he says, Lord, listen or consider my sighing. It says in one translation, my lament. Or in another translation, my groan. You know, there's sometimes that words just don't, you know, words just don't, you just aren't enough words. You can't get words that are deep enough. Sometimes it's more just a sighing. It's a groaning before God. He hears those things. Now, I don't encourage you, unless the Holy Spirit really causes this in you, to go to your knees tonight and groan. I mean, out loud. I've heard people do that. I've heard people do that in meetings, in prayer meetings. I've heard people groan. And Romans 8 tells us something about that. And I believe there is that kind of prayer, but there's that sighing. There are those prayers that we can't articulate or maybe even utter that are just burdening our hearts. And tonight when we go to prayer, you may not be able to use words. You may not want to use words for some of the prayers. It might be a prayer that only can be uttered to God in a sigh, in a groan, in a lament. And David says here, Lord, I'm going to give you words, but Lord, I pray that you'll also give attendance or listen to my sigh. Can you think of, I can think of a couple, but there's one that I think of in the Bible that comes readily to mind of a woman who she didn't use words, but she prayed. And I think she groaned. I think there was a real heaviness to her burden of prayer. And I believe in the Bible it indicates that she didn't use words, but she just groaned or sighed before God. And God heard her. You know who that was?
The mother of Samuel, Hannah.
She had a burden of prayer. Now, Eli the priest didn't know what to make of it. Eli didn't know, he didn't understand that. He wondered if she, I don't know what she's doing. And, you know, in his day, there weren't a whole lot of people praying, not with words, not with sighs, not with nothing. But she had a burden in her heart, and she was just unburdening herself before the Lord with cryings or sighings that she couldn't even articulate. God heard her cry. It's amazing. God understands tears. Did you ever go on your knees before God or were broken before him for whatever the reason? Maybe it was hardship. Maybe it was calamity. Maybe it was a difficulty or a problem or whatever it may be. And you just wept before him. I guess many years ago now, there was that song that was somewhat popular at that particular time. Tears are a language that God understands. You know, one year, a woman in our church, she gives everyone in the church a gift on behalf of the church. She orders them and she looks and finds them. And one year she wanted to give everybody in the church a little bottle. This was about 4 years ago, maybe. She gave everybody a little bottle. And her name is Sister Mercy. I says, what is this? What is this for? Everybody's going to get a bottle to anoint people or this what you put on? She said, this is a tear bottle. And you have to know the rest of, you know, the stories there in the Bible and in Revelation. And they're tears. Your tears are all captured. God captures them. Somehow he puts them in a bottle. Now, I don't think he has a bottle. But that was just something to remind us. And there was a scripture verse and a text that then was put onto that bottle. And sometimes tears work. I notice in meetings here sometimes there are people that are praying in tears. Tears, their sobbings, cryings. You don't have to go over to try to console them. It's okay, let them cry. It's good. It's good. Let them just weep before God. Don't go over and try to, don't cry, everything's going to be okay. No, maybe it's not going to be okay. Let them cry. Let them weep before the Lord. It's good. It's good to do that. It's good to sigh. It's good to bring words. And then he goes on and he says, listen to my cry for help. That's a desperate cry. That's maybe in some places, in some prayers in the Bible, it's a loud cry. You can pray sighing and crying and using words. I guess most often that's the way. And there's a crying out. There's just a desperate crying out. And I've seen that also. And I've seen it here at camp. I've seen all this at camp. I've seen people just cry out to God. Just cry out to God. Recognizing that he was the only one that could help them. And they just cried out to him. And thank God that tonight, I don't care. I don't care how you cry. I don't care how you sigh. I don't care how you groan. I don't care what words or if you use words. But here are just some of the ways that the psalmist says, Lord, are you going to hear me? This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to cry out to you. And then he says here, this is who you are. I want to remind myself. I don't have to tell you who you are, but you are my king. God, you're my king. So I'm coming to you, I'm crying out, I'm calling upon not some little bitty God that can't do much for me anyway. not some piece of stone or some thing that I crafted out of wood from some tree that I burned down and made a fire and roasted marshmallows on the rest of my God. No, not that kind of a God. You're my King. And the one that we go to in prayer tonight, the one that we're going to cry out to tonight, the one that we're going to bring our petitions and requests to tonight, I hope you can say he's my King. Now, I like it. David just doesn't say, you are a king. But David says, Lord, you are my King. You are my King. You're my Lord. You've risen from the dead, and you're my Lord. And every knee, my knee is going to bow. You're my Lord, and I'm coming to you, and I'm bringing my requests and petitions to the Lord of glory. He says, Lord, you're my God. What a great God. How great thou art. And we remind ourselves sometimes how vast and how big and how glorious our God is. Somebody told me, I think it was my brother here, told me last, no, it was not my brother here, it was my brother, where did he go? Maybe he left today. Maybe it was you. I hope it was. My brother told me he saw shooting stars. You see shooting stars? You're the one? You saw shooting stars last night? Okay. Last night they saw shooting stars. And it reminded me, you know, we've all seen shooting stars. You know what shooting stars, it doesn't mean you get out there and you shoot stars. But you look up in the heavens. It's nice to do when you live in the city. You come up to camp and you on a night, a clear night, and you look up in the sky and you see the stars. And then every once in a while you see. My brother said, I saw two last night. Not just one, but two. It's a bonus night. And you can see them often at camp. You can, if you look at the heavens long enough, you know, those stars are just so majestic, and they're so far away. And I have to remind myself sometimes, just the Milky Way that I live in. How far is the sun from here?
43 light years.
93 million miles. Our galaxy. The Milky Way. That's our neighborhood. Yeah, that's where we live. The Milky Way. That's the close place. That's down the block and around the corner. Our Milky Way. At the speed of light, which is what?
186,000 miles per second.
You stick to answering the Bible questions. Let them do science. Yeah. Okay. You hear what he said? 186,000. Now, some of you in the kitchen are fast. I mean, you hold up your coffee cup and... Right? They're there. You hold up that empty plate, you want more ham? Where do they come from? Boom, here they are. And they're running, 186,000 miles a second, not quite. You're not that fast. I can't even think of going that fast. Which brother told us that they were going 80, or a sister? She slows down in the rain, and otherwise she makes up for lost time and goes 80. Jehu went above the speed limit also. And the angels of the Lord, they leave you when you go past the speed limit just to warn you, but that's when the police officers take up their responsibility. But yeah, that's fast. That 80 is not 186,000 miles a second. Imagine how quick that is. All right, let me just finish with this quickly. So a year at 186,000 miles a second, you can go 5.8 trillion miles in 1 year. Okay, is that impressive? It's the math is too hard. It's beyond us already. 5.8 trillion miles. So 120,000 light years traveling at 5.8 trillion miles in 1 year. That's what it would take to get you to your neighborhood. When God says in the Bible that my God breathed out stars, it says in the Psalms. I mean, that's amazing. You know, just that thought almost makes me want to go on my knees and bow down. That's just the tip of the iceberg, and I know you realize that. Just turn turn to the 140. Keep your finger where it is, but 147 Psalm. I think there the psalmist, he talks about it. Psalm 147. Just verse 3. Verse 4. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. He calls them each by name. He determines the number of the stars. There are stars that you see up there in the sky tonight that are not there anymore because they've already burned out. You're still seeing the light because it takes a long time for it to get there because they're so far away. But they're not even there. And he knows that they're not there anymore. He's already crossed that off his list. That's number, and that one's gone. He knows the stars, the number of the stars, and he knows them all by name. Some of you have six kids and you don't even remember the names of all your kids. There's still counselors up there trying to figure out who that eighth boy is. Hey, you. Hey, Sonny. He knows every star. He knows how many hairs are on your head. Now, I don't want to get lost in this, but just think of it. This is my God. My God. And the verse before that in Psalm 147 says he condescends and he comes to those that are of a broken heart. Amazing. He makes stars. He breathes out stars. He knows them. I mean, he doesn't care about me. Puny little me down here. But yeah, he knows all the hairs on my head. And he knows when I have a broken heart. He knows the broken family whose father never showed up to take the kid that's been anticipating the visit all day. He knows that that kid never saw his father because the father didn't care, because the father didn't come. And that little kid is brokenhearted and he's sighing and he's crying. And the God that made the stars sees that little kid's broken heart. And then not only says he sees the broken heart, but Psalm 34 says he's near to those that are of a broken heart. I think prayer is such a privilege. I know maybe you think it's nap time or it's a waste of time or if it's killer time and, you know, it's really hard to do. And it is hard to do. It's a science to be learned, if I could call it that. It's a discipline to be learned. It's something that needs to be developed in us. It doesn't come easy in any of us. But when I get my mind around the fact that I'm praying to a God who hears me, who's vast, who's big, but who condescends right to my broken heart. And so the psalmist, he kind of wraps it up here. He says, Lord, in the morning, or for to you I pray, to my King I pray, to my God I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, now, again, you don't only have to pray. I can find a Bible verse. It's not in Psalm 5. But I can find Bible verses that talk about evening prayers and the evening sacrifice and lifting up our voice to God in prayer in the evening. And there were morning and evening sacrifices in the Old Testament. And the priests offered morning and evening sacrifices. And so, you know, pray. No, you don't have to just pray, oh, I'm not a morning person. So pray when you are a person. Pray when you can. Pray when you have the opportunity. But pray, pray. And here the psalmist, I guess he found it convenient for Lord in the morning. At the morning time of prayer, you're going to hear my voice. I'm going to let my requests and my petitions, I'm going to bring them before you. I'm going to lay them out before you. In just a few minutes, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask our sister Eve, don't get scared. And I'm not putting you on the spot, but I am, but I'm giving you ample warning. She's down in the cottage. One of the cottage counselors, day off, so she's here tonight. And there may not be requests for prayer from the cottagers or from the cottage. I don't know what's going on down there. She knows a lot better than I do. But maybe there's something that Sister Eva is going to say, you know, there's this kid or these kids or there's this problem or these two. I don't care how slight it is, small it is. I don't care what it may be. It doesn't have to be a major, big problem. But we want to pray for the cottagers and we want to pray intelligently. And we can pray a lump sum prayer, Lord, bless them all down there and meet every need that they have. That's good, but here's the request. I'm going to lay this request before you, and I'm going to articulate it with words, and I'm going to back it up with faith, and I'm going to then believe with other brothers and sisters. And Lord, you're going to hear my voice, because here goes. Lord, bless Susie Q down there. Bless Joe Schmo or whoever's down there. And I'm glad Tim's here tonight from the village. Anybody else from the village here? Just one guy got off or got away, whichever. I don't know. Sometimes they escape. Sometimes they give them time off. But maybe there are needs in the village. Maybe there are needs in Natick and Onanta. Maybe there are requests for prayer. We want to pray. We want to lay our requests before God. And then this, the last line there in that third verse. And wait in expectation. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Don't just lay your request before God and expect nothing. Because if you expect nothing, guess what you'll get? According to your expectation in faith, be it unto you. You expect nothing, you'll get nothing. Oh, maybe God is merciful and rich in mercy, and he might answer a prayer anyway, but I'm so thankful. Sister Pearl Young one time taught us, stood behind the pulpit. I can see her doing it. I was just younger than you probably, but maybe not. I was probably at least your age. I forget how old I am. And she stood behind the pulpit for a long time, and then she said, God has obligated himself to answer what it is that we have faith to believe him for. Now, there are Bible verses that say that. So she wasn't saying anything that, you know, she just got a flash from heaven, but she was saying God has obligated himself. But if you pray lacking in faith, these were her words, your prayer will limp. I would like to see that happen, but I think we know what she means. Your prayer will limp. Your prayer won't really go through as it ought. Don't pray with a lack of faith, without expecting an answer. But may we tonight, as we pray in faith, believing. Lay your requests before him, and then, Lord, then now I wait, and I expect. I expect my God, my King, to hear my words and my requests, to hear the cry of my heart. I expect my King and my God to answer on my behalf, because that's what he wants to do and show himself strong and mighty. So you and I and we together tonight have the privilege to pray. And so before we do go to prayer, is there any request for prayer specifically? Or
thank you for your prayers already. Thank you for the prayers that you will pray. I know that you've been praying. You know how I know that? Because God's already met us. And he's been so faithful to meeting us. I'd like to give a little bit of a praise report, if that's okay, and how God has met us. Specifically, first, I want to thank God for how he's met me. I had a need coming into camp. I had knee surgery in January, and I went through this therapy, and then I went back to the doctor before I came to camp, and the doctor said, not definitively, but he said that, you know, not looking good, and I need to go for another MRI, and the possibility of surgery again remains there. And you know, I've been praying that God would help me through this, because it has been quite painful at times. I was thankful that God helped me at the youth retreat. My desire is really just to be able to play with the guys. I want to be able to play ball with them. I want to be able to run with them. I want to be able to hike with them. I want to be able to do these things. And God helped me through the youth retreat. Courtney knows that. I beat him probably in whatever we played. But as the period started, I noticed that my knee pain started to get pretty bad. And there was one day in particular I noticed walking from Nonantum to the palace, I was in a lot of pain. And just in hiking, it was almost unbearable at times. I didn't know if I would be able to do that for 2 weeks. I thought that maybe I was being too active with my knee, and maybe I just wouldn't be able to do it. And I remember being in the ball field. I wanted to work out with the guys, and they left, and I was there by myself putting some things away. And I remember just kind of yelling a little bit. I was frustrated, and I was crying out to God, and God met me there.
Thank you. Thank you.
thing. And I can't say that I'm all better. I wish I could. But you know, he's been helping me. I haven't hurt the way that I used to. And that could be lucky. We have a good nurse. Maybe she's helped me through that. But I haven't been to her for that. But I went to the great physician. And he's helped me through that. And I'm so, so thankful for that. God's met me. God's met these boys so intimately. I've counseled a lot of these boys for a few years in a row now. And I've been able to see the change that's taken place in them. There were some boys that... this is the third year in Onantum that I've had some of them. And you know, when I first got them, not that I did anything for them, but when I got them, you know, they were so resistant to the things that we were teaching them. A lot of them just didn't want to hear it, or they were there and they heard it and they just didn't care, and you know, they would sleep during meeting and whatever. But I've seen such a change in some of them. We do this thing, the Onantum counselors. At night, we sometimes walk around just in the dark, because we want to know if they still have their phones with them. And so we'll peek in, see if there's, you know, if there's a blue light shining on them, so we could just barge in and take it. Then the next day, or if we're just listening to one of their conversations, we could tell them what they were talking about the next morning. But as we were walking through, Brother Stefan and I, we got to hear some of the conversations, and the same boys that were resistant, I heard them say, all right, before they went to bed, all right, now it's your turn to pray. And you know, that's silly sometimes, but that's such a difference, you know? That they didn't do that before. And now they want to know Jesus. And God's been so, so faithful. I know the Onantum side mostly because that's where I was for the first week. I made a little transition the second week, but we had some bunk devotions, and the first night we talked about your identity and placing your identity in Christ. The second time we talked about the change that comes in your life when you place your identity in Christ, and we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and how that's lived out through us. And at the end, I posed the question to them, if you want prayer, we want to pray for you. And what fruit do you want us to pray for you for? And, you know, I didn't say, we're going to start with you, Mark, and then we're going to go through all the way, and Caleb, you're going to finish us up, and that's how it's going to be. I said, if anyone wants prayer, you can go ahead and ask for prayer. I don't want to force you, but if you want prayer, ask for prayer. And 13 of them, out of 15, they wanted prayer. And they were so open with it, and the next day I was driving one of them to the clinic, they got a little cut on their chin, and they said, Brother Tim, could you pray for me in this way? And God's been working, and he's been faithful. But so here it is. 13 of them asked for prayer. You know what that means?
Two left.
There are two left. They need prayer. Some of these boys, I don't know how to reach them. And I was talking with Brother Stefan, and I said, man, these two kids, they annoy me. And I don't know how to reach them. I know sometimes I don't connect with them. But God knows. God knows the conversation that we're going to have with them to reach them. God knows the words that he's going to put in Brother Peter's heart and Brother Eric's heart and whatever counselor's heart to reach these boys. God knows the song to sing to reach these boys. God knows. And so we're praying for the Lord's direction there. There are a few specific prayer requests, I guess. There's one boy who doesn't speak much English at all, and he's been defiant, and he doesn't want to listen to direction, and so he's been a little frustrating in that regard, and so we're praying that the Lord will soften his heart. There's been little arguments, you know, guy stuff, I guess, and we're praying that God will soothe that, and God will keep that unity in the boys, and that God will continue to meet us in the way that he already has.
Amen. Amen. So we want to pray for our cottage. We want to pray for the village in Natick and Onantum. But could we sing together number 400? And then let us go to our knees. I would encourage you to do that unless it's hard for you to get on your knees. But we could go to our knees, and then could I just again remind you, use words. Don't hesitate to pray out. Take one of these requests or any other requests for prayer that the Lord might bring to your heart, your mind, and let us pray and call upon Him. Number 400. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear. Tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried I, tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Shall we go to our knees and let us pray?
I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
Hallelujah.